You're listening to Messages of Grace. Grace Baptist Church Kelowna exists to bring glory to God through lives transformed by the gospel as we follow Jesus together as his disciples, family, servants, and witnesses. Now for today's message.
Well, good morning. How was Christmas? Yes? It's good to be back here. Very short week, it seems like, but glad that we can worship together this morning and fellowship. It's always a privilege to come together, isn't it? You know, and it's almost time to say Happy New Year, isn't it? It's almost there, and so since we are at the precipice of 2026, we're going to take a break this morning from our series in Genesis, and we're going to think about how we might want to leap into the new year. How we as the people of God might want to make the transition from 2025 to 2026. And I know in one sense, a new year is just another number on our calendar. And at the same time, the changeover to a new year, another year, provides an opportunity, doesn't it? It provides an opportunity to pause, to ponder, to plan how we might want to turn the page to a new chapter. And so this is our time this morning to maybe hit the reset button a little bit and look ahead to see how we want to live our days in 2026. So before we do that, let's bow for prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we have been reminded once again in this Christmas season how good and gracious you are in sending your Son into our world. Because you loved us and Jesus loved us, incredible gifts, Lord. And our prayer is that as we enter a new year, Jesus would not get lost in the weeds of our pursuits and our pleasures, but that we might be able to say with the psalmist, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you." O Lord God, Jesus Christ, may you be magnified in our hearts and minds so that we would truly desire you above all else. That is our prayer for 2026. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're like me, you probably have a favorite or a few favorite news sites. I do click around once in a while and go to my favorite news sites on the internet. And on Christmas Day, I was rather surprised to see the first article of a secular news site acknowledging Christmas with a lengthy article about the true meaning of Christ's coming, beginning with these words. This is how this article started. It said, "Christmas is a day preserved for Christians to revel merrily in the inextinguishable light that God unleashed upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The gift is one that cannot be replicated, a light that has no equal, a light to be shared freely, a light that cuts through the darkness of this world to reveal a joy that cannot be seen otherwise." Went on to say, "Christmas reminds Christians that whatever this transient world throws at them, they can and must always rejoice in the eternal blessings to come, blessings of an unsurpassed magnitude which we can only taste today. As Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Isn't that amazing? A secular news site. That's how they welcomed you when you clicked on them. And then the article continues. It's a long article. I'm not going to read it all. It continues to share the Christmas story and the true meaning of Christmas. And isn't that a good word for us as well as we look to a new year? Rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that a fitting word as we wrap up 2025? You see, Paul repeats the word rejoice 9 times in the book of Philippians, which many of you have been studying on our Wednesday nights as you've come here to our Bible studies. You know, and I had to think, what kind of attitude would I want to adopt as I journey into the year of 2026? Would it be joy, or shouldn't it be joy? What about you? What about our disposition, our demeanor? We can choose in some sense, can't we? We can choose how we're going to enter the new year. We can choose gloom, or we can choose joy. Joyfulness or joylessness? Which will it be for 2026? Now, I know it wouldn't be difficult to assemble a list of reasons why we might choose joylessness instead of joyfulness, despondency instead of delight, gloomness instead of gladness, because we all agree there's so much wrong in the world, isn't there? There's so much wickedness, there's so much pain in our world and in the lives of people around us. And if we are at all awake to what is happening in the world today and the devilish agenda that is playing out in front of our eyes, we can easily be discouraged, because we are very much living in the days of Noah, aren't we? And we can expect that things are going to get even far worse in the days to come. And if we choose to focus our attention on all that is wrong in this world, we're going to lose our joy. We're going to lose our joy in this coming year. But this is the time, and perhaps today is the day, where we can choose to opt for joy. Not a phony, let's ignore the facts and put on a smile kind of joy, but choose joy in the sense in which Paul is suggesting it for us in Philippians chapter 3, when he says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord." You see, if we're going to live 2026 with a joyful disposition, we're going to have to make sure that our joy is tied to an object that is steady and strong. Paul doesn't just say rejoice, he says rejoice in the Lord. Find your happiness not in the conditions or circumstances of your life, but find your happiness in the Lord. Choose Jesus to be the spring and the fountain of your joy. Recall daily, recall hourly, if you will, where you once were without Jesus, and then where you are today with Jesus. When we start doing that, we're going to find joy. Contemplate who Jesus is, what he did for you, what he has promised you. Meditate on his mercy and his grace and his goodness and his patience and his love. And trust that Jesus is more real, more reliable, more enduring than all the wrongs in this world. He will outlive them all. And look to him more intentionally and intensively, and you will find joy. I promise you will find joy. So what about our disposition for 2026? Let's drop joylessness and let's instead pick up joy. Joy in the Lord. Well, Paul has a lot of encouragement for the new year in 2026, and I want to share just some of them. We're not going to be able to go through the whole book, but let's start reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, and work through some of the verses here. It says in verse 1, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." Then he goes on to say, "To write these same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put confidence in the flesh," and put no confidence in the flesh. Background here briefly, Paul is referring here to these dogs as the in terms of Judaizers who insisted that all the Old Testament ceremonial laws must be obeyed in order to assure one's salvation. Here, he specifically talks about the practice of circumcision. And Paul challenges these Judaizers by raising this question. In essence, he asks the question, really, when it comes to our salvation, what are we going to put our confidence in? What are you putting your confidence in when it comes to your salvation? Is our confidence in what we can do in the flesh, or is it in what Christ has done for us in his flesh when he came to be a sacrifice for us? And for a moment, what Paul does here, which he does in 1 Corinthians as well, he kind of plays their game when he says this in the next passage. In verse 4, he says, "Though I myself, I have reason," he says, "I have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. I'm circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisees, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Paul says, if you want to play that game, let's play it. I've got religion, he says. I've got the right ethnicity. I have the right genealogy. I have the right morality. I've got the drive. I've got the devotion. I've got the good works. But then he goes on to say, all of that doesn't really matter. All of that will not do. Verse 7 says this, "But whatever gain I had through all these things," he says, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." And so for us, the question is this: what do we want to depend on as we journey into the new year of 2026? His righteousness or my righteousness? Savior righteousness or self-righteousness? Paul says in verse 3, he said there already, we put no confidence in the flesh. Not at all. No confidence in what I can do to gain a right standing with God. My religious accomplishments will never earn me acceptance with God the Father. As you may recall, if you were here Christmas Eve, we had a ladder up here, and I'm grateful that I didn't fall. I know some of you were very worried, but I didn't go very high. But if you remember that illustration, we don't have what it takes to make it to the top. We don't have what it takes to be fully righteous, but we have a Savior who is righteous, and who has taken upon himself our unrighteousness and has exchanged our unrighteousness for his perfect righteousness, which we receive by faith. There's no other way in which we can come to the Father except through Jesus by faith. And this dependence on Jesus is a wonderful thing. I mean, who would want to even try to work for their salvation? It's a wonderful thing to have a Savior. And it is our reason for daily celebration, and it is our reason for confidence. Because of our dependence on Jesus Christ alone, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence, it says in Hebrews 4:16, and we can then receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I suspect that we will want to make use of that invitation as we face the challenges that will come our way in 2026. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to be able to depend on the Savior and not needing to depend on self for our standing with God the Father. So what about our dependence for 2026? Suggest we drop self-righteousness in favor of adopting his righteousness and depending on him. Now, this doesn't mean that we now go ahead and live our lives recklessly or live aimlessly. We do not go on sinning so that grace may increase, Romans 6, verse 1. And we continue to be wide awake. Ephesians 5, 14 through 16 talks about not walking as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time. And so even here, Paul, he encouraged us to live our lives purposeful and intentional. Listen to verse 7 again. Verse 7 says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Christ." And so Paul is saying here, my accomplishments are nothing. Paul's desire is this: knowing Christ, gaining Christ, and being found in Christ. And knowing here, the word knowing here is not just knowing about Jesus, knowing that there was a historical Jesus. It is the kind of knowing that prompts him to say, "My Lord." Very personal, "My Lord." And he knows Jesus as his Lord, doesn't he? Paul's mind, Paul's heart, are full of Christ, and everything else in his life pales in comparison. Losing other things in favor of gaining Christ is worth it to Paul. It is more satisfying to know Jesus, to gain Jesus, to be found in Jesus. That is far more than anything else. And we know that Paul lived that out. And of course, as we read these verses, it raises the question for us, what do we desire for the year 2026? What will be our desire for the year 2026? Treasuring Jesus? Above all, treasuring Jesus or treasuring other things? You know, in Matthew chapter 13, we see a wonderful picture of what it means to find a worthy treasure. Probably remember, it's one of the shortest parables, if not the shortest one in the Bible. In verse 45, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and he sold all that he had and he bought it." He bought this one precious pearl. The merchant, he in the story, in this parable, counts everything he owns as loss that he might gain this one single treasure. That he may have, and maybe he had a number of pearls already, but then one day he stumbles upon this one special one that is like none other. And he sells everything that he has, everything in his possession is worth losing so that he may gain this one treasure. It's a beautiful picture. And that's really what Paul is saying here in this passage. I'm looking at all my assets. Paul listed them, his accomplishments. And though they may have some value in comparison to having Jesus, these other things are completely worthless. They are as good as garbage. They are worth losing so that I may gain the greatest treasure of all. Now, what does that look like in our lives? If we were to live like that, what would that look like? Well, for one, I think it means that when I'm confronted with a choice between something the world treasures and Jesus, I choose him and what he would want for me. That's a practical outworking of treasuring Jesus, isn't it? I actually prefer him over things that are thrown at me and that I need to make choices about. It means I will hold all things in life loosely. I will hold all things in life loosely so as to demonstrate that things are not my treasure. Jesus is my treasure. Loving him, following him, obeying him is more important. It means that if I lose things in this world, I will not lose my joy, because my joy is in the Lord. He is my treasure. And you see, Paul is so convinced that being closely identified with Jesus is the highest goal that he expresses this in verse 10 with these words. He says, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that I, by any means possible, may attain the resurrection from the dead. These verses, of course, they raise another question for us, and that is, what do we determine as our primary pursuit in 2026? What is our target? What is our aim? What is our aspiration? What is our determination? Is it imitating Jesus and being so closely identified as this passage suggests, or is it promoting ourselves? Is it promoting self? See, we see clearly Paul is dialed in. He's dialed into pursuing this one goal. This is his resolve. He's determined to know Jesus so intimately, to identify with Jesus so closely, that it could be said of him, Paul walked as Jesus walked. That's what the Apostle Paul actually suggests to us, doesn't it? Doesn't he? In 1 John chapter 2, 6, he says, whoever says he abides in Christ ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. Let me say that again. Whoever says he abides in Christ, whoever is a follower of Christ, whoever is a Christian, that person ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. And that may mean walking in the power of his resurrection. That may mean walking in the readiness to share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, which means to be so submitted to God the Father as Jesus was, in that no sacrifice is too great, and thus attain to the resurrection from the dead and be raised with Christ. Paul calls us to be an imitator. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Imitate my life because I am imitating Jesus and his life. Walk as Jesus walked. Is that our aim for 2026? To determine to imitate our Lord and Savior instead of promoting self? I would think that is more costly to live like that. It's a more costly way to live in the interim, as this may mean dying to self daily, to our selfishness, to self-interest, to self-promotion, to self-seeking, to self-preoccupation, to self-obsession, to die to all of that. But friends, it is a far more worthy way, a far more satisfying way, a far more purposeful way, and a far more rewarding way to live life in the long run. Now let's ask this question. Was Paul able to pull this off perfectly? What do you think? No. What does he say? Look at verse 12. He says here, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. That's good news, isn't it? I mean, that's a relief. Even Paul was not able to pull this off perfectly. But then he says this, he says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, we see here that Paul, too, he hadn't walked perfectly. He hadn't run a perfect race, but he was determined to press on. Seeing the ultimate goal in front of him, the final destination, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And in order to keep running the race, Paul didn't let the past get in the way. What does it say? He says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You see, it's difficult to journey into the new year if we carry too much baggage with us. It slows us down. It gets in the way. It hinders us from running the race. And maybe you are the kind of person that takes inventory of the past year when we flip the calendar. And if you do, you will likely remember certain moments you may wish you could redo or undo. And even if we're just a little bit humble even and are able to look back, we will experience some regret. We will feel some regret. We haven't always made the right choices in 2025, have we? None of us walked through this past year with unblemished nobility. And as someone said, once the leaves come off the trees, you can't put them back on. And this is why we need God's grace, don't we? This is why we need God's grace. And the good news is that we can know his forgiveness, can know his forgiveness as we go into the new year. And so instead of looking back on his failures or his achievements for that matter, Paul keeps his eyes on the ultimate goal, the final destination. Paul will not be deterred by the past. He can say with the prophet Isaiah, but the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced, therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. I have an unshakable resolve in pursuing my goal with unwavering determination. And because we know what is at stake, namely our destination, we must decide, do I press on? Am I going to press on or am I going to plateau? What will 2026 look like for you and me? Will I press on as Paul did or will I plateau? Maybe you've seen the movie Chariots of Fire. And if you have, you may recall that there was this race, Scotland and France, in a AAA track team championship. The year was 1923. And among the events remaining was the 440, I don't think they do those anymore, 440-yard race. And as the runners, clad in their traditional 1920s attire, came to the first turn of the race, they were bunched together so closely, shoulder to shoulder, that one of them was pushed to the ground and pushed off the track. Maybe you remember that scene. And for a second or two, he was down. And then he got up again. And he started running again. And he was far behind, at least 20 yards behind the rest. His knees high, his head back. He was picking up speed. Faster and faster and faster. And as the leaders of the pack sprinted to the finish line, Eric Liddell emerged out of an impossible setback, an impossible position, and he ended up winning the race. What would you have done if you would have crashed out of the race? You know, I would think that we might have been tempted to just walk off the track, watch the others run. Maybe we would have bowed out, but instead Eric Liddell gave it his all. Just about passed out afterwards, but he gave it his all and he pressed on to the finish line. And you see, our ultimate destination is just around the corner, friends. You think you're going to be here forever, you won't. Our ultimate destination is just around the corner when one day we shall cross the finish line. Just like Jesus Christ made Paul his own, Jesus has made you his own. You belong to him. If you are a believer, if you have put your faith and trust in Christ, you belong to him. And so by his grace, this new year of 2026 can be a new chapter in your life and mine where we put the old aside and we resolve to press on to the finish line, straining forward, passionately pursuing Jesus until that day when we shall see him face to face. And so let us heed the words of the Apostle Paul and be encouraged as we go into this new year of 2026. Let's choose. Let's choose wisely. Let's choose a disposition of joyfulness, not joylessness. Because our joy is in who? In the Lord, Jesus. Let's choose dependence on his righteousness, not self-righteousness, because Jesus has already paid it all. We don't have to earn it. Let's choose a desire to treasure Jesus, not all the other things that appeal to our appetites, because there's nothing here on earth that compares to him. Let's also choose to be determined. To be determined to make it our goal to be imitating Jesus instead of promoting self, because there is no better life. Not an easy life, but there is no better life than to please him and to strive to become like him. And let's choose to be prepared for our final destination. Pressing onward. Pressing upward. Refusing to plateau. As we make Jesus Christ our vision in 2026. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought. Can you say that? Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light.
If you would like to learn more about how you can know Jesus or deepen your relationship with him, simply contact our church office by email at office@gracekelowna.com or by calling our church office at 250-763-3457.